Hello everyone, and welcome back to the 12th episode of GenSTEM. As usual, I'm your host, Sneha, and I'm super excited to be back and discussing a brand new topic with you all. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, or if you aren't very familiar with GenSTEM, GenSTEM is a podcast that discusses all the current events and new discoveries happening in the STEM field. Additionally, we also discuss tips and advice for aspiring STEM professionals. You can also learn more about our podcast and its goals by watching our trailer. But watch the trailer after listening to this episode, of course. So in this episode, we'll talk about plate tectonics and the evidence behind it. I also hope to talk to you about how the scientific theory came to be during this podcast episode. So if you're interested in learning more, please continue listening to this episode. So first of all, what exactly are plate tectonics? Well, plate tectonics is a theory that the pieces of the Earth's lithosphere, also known as plates, move slowly. The theory of plate tectonics explains the formation and the movement of the Earth's plates. This theory wasn't fully understood until the 1960s, so many aspects of geology was not really well understood back then. Geologists couldn't explain many questions such as why there were mountains in some places and oceans in others, or how the fossils of ocean creatures could be found on top of some of the world's highest mountains. But plate tectonics helped geologists answer these questions, as you'll learn later in this podcast episode. Furthermore, it also helped explain the patterns of the locations of the earthquakes and volcanoes. Although the process of plate tectonics was not really fully understood until the 1960s, many clues were observed earlier. For instance, when the early explorers began to discover the shapes of continents, mapmakers noticed how well the shapes of North and South America fit together with Europe and Africa. It almost seemed as if the continents were pieces of a giant puzzle that had been broken apart. Later on, geologists discovered fossils of species of land-based plants and animals on continents separated by large oceans. For example, fossils of the same species of plants were found in South America, Africa, Antarctica, India, and Australia. The fossils puzzled geologists because their locations were widely separated. In 1912, a German scientist by the name of Alfred Wegener proposed a hypothesis to explain these puzzling observations. He hypothesized that the continents were once joined together in a single supercontinent, which then was broken into pieces that moved apart. He called this ancient supercontinent Pangaea, which means all land. According to his hypothesis, the continents moved slowly across the Earth's surface in a process called continental drift. Continental drift explains why the continents seem to fit together. It also explains why the fossils of plants and animals that once lived together in a single region are now scattered across the globe. However, there are many problems with this hypothesis because he was unable to explain how the continents could move through the solid rock of the seafloor. Also, he didn't have a convincing explanation of what force could move the entire continents. Because of this, most geologists at the time rejected continental drift. But after several decades of his hypothesis, new evidence came into light, and this led geologists to reconsider his ideas. Some of the evidence that came from the mapping of the seafloor and studying the characteristics of the oceanic crust. This evidence helped scientists propose the theory of plate tectonics. The first piece of evidence was when the scientists found a chain of underwater mountains which they called the mid-ocean ridge. As scientists mapped the mid-ocean ridge, they realized that the rocks of the ocean floor were the youngest near the mid-ocean ridge. And again, scientists were puzzled with this new piece of information. Then in 1960, the American geologist by the name of Harry Hess proposed another theory of the seafloor spreading to explain these discoveries about the ocean. Seafloor spreading is a process by which the new oceanic crust is created at the mid-ocean ridges as the older crust moves away. Soon the evidence was provided for his theory, and the evidence for the seafloor spreading provided what was missing from Wegener's hypothesis: a new way for pieces of the crust to move. But what force was powerful enough to move these heavy continents? The answer to that question was convection currents. Plate motions are the visual part of the process of the mantle convection. The process that drives plate movement on the Earth's surface is similar to the convection in the pot of a boiling soup, for example. The soup is heated from below and rises to the top of the pot, moves across the top and cools down and then sinks back down. The heat that drives the convection and the mantle comes from two sources. The first source is that the Earth was very hot when it was formed, and some of the heat moving upward in the currents is due to the gradual cooling of the interior. The second source is the heat is the result of a decay of the radioactive asymptotes that were once distributed throughout the mantle and the crust. There are about a dozen major tectonic plates, and most of the major plates contain both continental and oceanic crust. The edges of these plates meet at plate boundaries. There are three types of plate boundaries: divergent boundaries, convergent boundaries, and transform boundaries. And at each type of boundaries, plates move in a different way. As plates move apart, collide, or slide past each other, they cause changes in the Earth's surface. The motions of the Earth's plates have been measured directly using global positioning system, or also known as GPS sensors. The plates move very slowly, about 0.1 to 10 centimeters per year. In fact, the speed is similar to the rate at which your fingernails grow, which is about 4 centimeters per year. First up, we have divergent boundaries. At divergent boundaries, plates separate and they form a narrow rift valley. This is where magma rises from the mantle and solidifies and forms a new crust. So this is why at divergent boundaries, oceanic crust is created. The mid-ocean ridge, the Earth's longest mountain range, forms a divergent boundary. In Iceland, one of the most geological active locations on the Earth, the divergence of the North American and Eurasian plates along the mid-Atlantic ridge can be observed as the ridge rises above sea level. So in short, in divergent boundaries, plates move away from each other. Second up, we have convergent boundaries. At convergent boundaries, plates collide with one another. The collision buckles under the edge of one or both plates and creates a mountain ridge, or it can subduct under one of the plates under the other, which creates a deep seafloor trench. At convergent boundaries, continental crust is created and oceanic crust is destroyed as it subducts, melts, and becomes magma. Convergent plate movement can also create earthquakes and often forms chains of volcanoes. The highest mountain range above sea level, the Himalayas, was formed 55 million years ago when the Eurasian and the Indo-Australian continental plates converged. The Mediterranean island of Cyprus was formed at the convergent boundary between the African and the Eurasian plates. This island was formed because of the hardened mounds of lava, also known as pillow lavas, that were once at the bottom of the ocean, but when the conversions occurred, they have been pushed up and now they're visible at the surface. So in short, convergent boundaries, plates come together or collide. Last but not least, we have transform boundaries. At transform boundaries, plates slide past each other, moving in opposite directions. Here, rock is neither created or destroyed in a transform boundary. Instead, it causes intense earthquakes, the formation of thin layer valleys, and split riverbeds. An example of a notable intense earthquake that was caused by transform boundaries is the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. The earthquake was caused by a slip of the San Andreas Fault over the segment about 275 miles long, and shockwaves could be felt from southern Oregon all the way down to Los Angeles. Well, that's all for today, and I'm going to start wrapping up this episode now. I'm hopeful that you learned about the plate tectonics theory and the evidence behind it. I also hope you learned about the three different types of plate boundaries. If you liked this week's episode, please subscribe to my podcast and stay in tune for the next episode. And while you're waiting, you can also check out our blog at genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. And if you didn't watch our previous episodes, feel free to go check them out also. In the first episode, we talk about tips for landing remote internships and how to ace your next virtual interview. In the second episode, we talk about steps for vaccine development. And in the third episode, we talk about what dark matter and dark energy exactly are. In the fourth episode, we talk about the impact of environmental issues on human health. In the fifth episode, we talk about the good and the bad about CRISPR. And in the sixth episode, we talk about natural selection and the evidence behind it. In the seventh episode, we talk about what exactly biodiversity is. In the eighth episode, we talked about how to land research opportunities. In our ninth episode, we gave you an introduction to cybersecurity. In our tenth episode, we gave you an introduction to machine learning. And finally, in our 11th episode, we talked about invasive species. So if any of those topics interested you, you can go back and watch the podcast episodes for them too, if you haven't already. And if there are any topics that you want to be discussed, or you have any questions about the podcast, please feel free to email me at genstemblog@gmail.com. genstemblog@gmail.com. I'm open to any new ideas and I'll try to respond to them as soon as possible. I also started an Instagram account for GenSTEM just recently, so I would appreciate it if you would support us over there also. I'll post all the new updates there so you can be up to date and well informed on what's going on at GenSTEM. I look forward to talking to you all again next week, and as usual in the meantime, keep learning and stay curious.